Hey, everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com, which is a leading provider of audiobooks, comedy albums, and other spoken audio entertainment. That's right. Get a free audiobook by visiting audiblepodcast.com/how. That's audiblepodcast.com/how. Honestly, it's pretty good. Check it out. It's the NSYNC movie that no one asked for and no one wanted to see. We saw On the Line, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for...
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am joined, as always, by June and Jason. Hello to you both.
Hi, Paul.
What's going on?
Jason is, of course, not in studio right now. You're in New York, and so that equates for the...
That's why I sound weird, guys.
Yeah,
that's why
sound
I
sound like weird. You're in a toaster. we are joined today by a very funny...
And by toaster, you mean a Cylon.
Yeah, man. Frack. Oh, what the frack?
What's frack? Frack you.
We are joined by the very funny Ike Barinholtz, who you might have seen on Mad TV or Eastbound and Down this season. He played the Russian pitcher. Welcome, Ike.
Hey now, thank you for having me.
Oh, we're very excited. Hi. Now, this is a movie that, Ike, you recommended to us.
Right. Well, we were talking about it, and you're like, God, yeah. It's tough to find movies that we, you know, because we know people who make movies now, and we don't want to offend anyone. I go, I think I know a movie that no one is involved with.
Yeah, and this is, this movie On the Line, just to give you an idea, was released in 2001.
Yeah.
It was an NSYNC movie with Joey Fatone and Lance Bass, and man, it's kind of a romantic comedy,
yes.
Right?
I mean, I'd say besides 9/11, it's the worst thing to happen in 2001.
this was released in 2001.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. Okay, that changes things.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that this movie is why they attacked us on 9/11.
Well, I heard that they were just trying to get the planes over here just to see it.
Yeah. Lance Bass is huge in Saudi Arabia. He's huge.
Lance Bass, okay, so he plays a guy who, according to this movie, this is where I'm most confused. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who is dating, but he's just clams up when he finds the right girl.
Yes.
Is that like,
yes.
So, like, every one of these characters is not really black and white. It's kind of all shades of gray.
Yeah, very nebulous.
Yeah,
yeah, there's no clear choices on any.
No. Like, I mean, I got to say, you know, Lance Bass, a lovely guy, I'm sure. He has almost a Terry Schiavo like quality to him, to his performance, where it's just kind of glassy eyed and lost a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's being fed through a feeding tube.
Right.
Yeah.
In the
and he's
of
wearing that
firestorm.
Horrible gray leather blazer I never want to see again. That costume was so upsetting.
I always feel bad for like the writer. I always just imagine like when the writer finds out who their lead's going to be. You know, and the producer's like, so we got the lead. Say primo romantic comedy actor like Ben Stiller.
Oh, wow, this is great.
No, it's not Ben Stiller. It's more of a song and dance man.
Oh, great, this is real.
So now, do you think they added in the music stuff? Like they had a version of the script that was just for, you know, your run of the mill like regular romantic comedy actor, and then they were like, okay, we have Lance Bass, we have Joey Fatone.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the original script was rated R. And they had to knock it back for the NSYNC audience.
That's right. Okay. So they basically wanted something about Mary.
Yes.
So they wanted, right.
But can I say something? This movie, even if it was R, I don't even understand where the R is coming in. Because basically there's no stakes in this movie. He meets Emmanuel Shirky
from Entourage. I call her E's girlfriend from Entourage.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you ever do a TV version of the show, we need to do like 6 hours on Entourage. Just break down six different
season by season.
Yes. Okay. Sorry.
I guess spend forever on the finale.
We have to do that.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing, a special version.
Yeah, I'm an expert on Entourage. Like, I know everything about it. I'm obsessed.
But basically, the whole movie is he meets a girl on the subway, and then he's just trying to find her for the rest of the movie. I mean, there's like no... Like,
well, it is a very confusing premise because the movie starts off in a flashback.
Right.
7 years ago.
Where
we find out that basically everything that is important to this movie happened seven years ago.
Yeah. I love
that. Said a couple of times.
They're singing Spin Doctors, like NSYNC's making fun of Spin Doctors.
Yes.
Like, how dare you?
I need, I genuinely need somebody in our audience to find out how many times Two Princes has been played in a movie.
Whoa. I would say the over under at 18.
Oh, no. I'm going, like,
more?
30s.
Oh,
way more.
Wow. Now, this is a dumb question, but Is NSYNC just comprised of? I don't know anything about boy bands. Is that just Joey Fatone?
No, well,
no. Didn't you watch the credits?
Yeah, the credits.
So Timberlake. Okay, yeah. So Timberlake was in NSYNC.
Yeah,
Timberlake, Chris Kirkpatrick,
and J.C. Chazay,
who is not in the movie.
Not in the movie.
Clearly, a bone of contention.
Yeah.
So, do you think they first went? Because, by the way, they're not to jump ahead to the, but they're the end credits is over a sketch,
right?
That Justin Timberlake and who is that other guy?
Chris Kirkpatrick.
All right, and there's more life and energy.
Oh,
in
yes.
That sketch, and it's terrible.
And it's. It's also very awkward that Timberlake is playing a gay man to Lance,
yes.
Who has since come out of the closet. It's,
yes.
It's very uncomfortable.
It's a very over-the-top gay performance by JT.
But I like Chris Kirkpatrick's kind of a German guy.
I thought he was great.
He was good.
He really did.
Best actor in the movie besides
Jennifer.
So you're saying that you would rather have seen a 2 minute, that what that 2 minute sketch was at the end, you would rather have seen a 90
feature
minute.
Length film.
Yes.
Well, I feel like they probably tried to get NSYNC to play all of the boys
of the guys,
in the
yeah.
movie.
Yeah.
And Timberlake's like, no fucking way, I'll do
well,
the sketch.
Well, see, that's
at the
what
end.
I was curious about. Like, did it first, did the main part, Lance Bass's part, first go out to
without a doubt.
No, see.
You don't think so?
I think Timberlake was supposed to play the, like, what's the skinny hip-hop guy?
Like the wigger?
Eric.
Can I say wigger?
Eric, yeah.
To the R, to the I, to the C.
I think Timberlake was supposed to play him, and I think Chris Kirkpatrick was supposed to play the smart guy.
Yes.
Oh, so where does that leave J.C. Chazay in all this?
Al Green.
That's why he wasn't invited to the movie.
Al Green.
You know, it's funny, like, we were talking about it, and I've seen this movie a bunch back in the day, and, you know, a couple days ago, I was like, I should watch this again, and I couldn't find it on Netflix or Amazon Instant. Yeah. Amoeba didn't have it. Barnes & Noble didn't have it. But the whole movie is posted on YouTube, and I think that's the way this movie is supposed to be seen.
Yes, in
on
five
a little
chapters.
Window in 8 chapters. And the great thing is, it was uploaded by a poster named Lance Bass Fan Page, and it says posted with the express permission of Lance Bass, which is like clearly they were like at a premiere or something and saw Lance Bass. We're like, hey, Lance, I love you. Can I post this on YouTube? He's like, yeah, whatever. I don't know.
Can I post this whole movie that Lance Bass does not own?
Yeah, he does not own
a movie that is made by whatever company. It was made by. All right, so.
Yeah, the premise is pretty confusing, though. So he's this guy who, I guess, has he does date and seems to have a pretty active love life.
Yeah, he's not a loser.
He's not a loser.
In fact, he steals a girl in high school, which we find out later, from another.
That was kind of, but that wasn't really, he didn't steal it. She just kind of
asked him. And
she used him.
From that guy's point of view, it looks like he was a dick because he gives him that smarmy look.
Okay, but it does seem like he dates people.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
He's out and about.
Well, they also set him up as a loser in work where he's like in the mail room with Jerry Stiller.
Yes.
Oh.
And by the way, they lay so much pipe in the beginning of this movie, like all these things, like, hey, are you ever going to tell me what that baseball means?
Right, right.
Hey, are you ever going to get this job?
Hey, Reebok is really up our ass on this account. I was like, how did Reebok get involved?
By the way, most product placement ever in a movie.
The McDonald's French fries. That's like Mac and Me fucking blatant. Yeah. There's a Pepsi in there
A kid is literally holding it, like, holding the McDonald's thing out. It's like, it's out. Like, it's, you can't, you, no one would hold it like that.
By the way, I found that scene very disturbing. That kid is about 7 years old and says he's telling Lance Bass and his sidekick
how to fuck chicks.
Yeah. And then he takes his French fries and walks over to a woman in her
30s.
Her mid 30s, offers her fries and then gives them a look like, right?
Well, in the R-rated version, she blows him.
That's why they cut it.
Gets laid.
Also, that kid starts off the thing that I really want to just call our attention to, which is the sound effects for head turns, blinks, and anything
else. What the fuck? It's like this movie was scored by a fucking DJ Morning Man in Tulsa.
I think what happened is that they saw
actual crickets at one point.
there's crickets.
Somebody tells a joke that doesn't land. There's crickets.
There are crickets. There are fart noises.
Joey Fatone has 11 fart sounds. Every time he moves, a fart sound.
There's triple takes, like what?
A couple record scratches. A couple of those.
When Joey Fatone turns his head at one time and goes wicka wicka wicka,
actually no, Joey Fatone actually makes that noise when he turns his head. Also, there's that song that keeps playing intermittently. That's like, yeah, baby, hey, baby.
Oh, I actually have a clip of that song. Just so you can hear.
God.
This underscores the movie is barely creaks in at an hour and 20 minutes, and this movie plays under, I would say, an hour and 15. Here you go.
That went pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Give it.
All right, so there you go. Jesus. That is just a taste of the music that, and that plays all the time.
And loudly.
Yeah,
at
yeah.
At points I couldn't hear the dialogue. It was
terrible
so
sound
loud.
Mixing. Terrible sound mixing. I mean, I'm trying to think of like worse leading men for a movie.
Yeah, well, I know.
Like who's worse? Well, like Paul Gasol?
But see,
the Norway shooter? Yes. What the fuck?
I feel like this movie is Lance Bass's. Is Ellen DeGeneres is Mr. Wrong?
Yes, that's
or
exactly
Mr. Right.
Yes,
whatever Mr. that Wrong, is. Mr. Like Wrong, a gay Wrong. Person has to be forced into a romantic comedy lead.
Well, my question was: do you think that Lance Bass was out being gay at this point? Did he know he was gay at this point?
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he knew. He knew he was gay. Yeah. But he probably, you know, he's from Florida. You know, don't tell anyone. Yeah.
But see, here's a weird thing about the movie too, though, because in the beginning, that seven years ago flashback. He's the lead singer of this band.
Yes, the Spin Doctors band.
Yes.
The Spin Doctors band. Right. And we find out later on that music means a whole lot to him.
Oh, it's huge. That's why he works for Reebok.
Yeah. That's why he works for Reebok.
Well, so much so that when he's on the subway, he will start singing along and getting embarrassed.
He's
listening to Al Green on his like CD man or whatever it is. Right. He gets so into the song that he stands up on a public subway and starts dancing kind of wildly.
Yeah, and then he gives that sheepish deer in the woods about to be murdered look like, I'm sorry, everyone. And of course, who could resist that?
But why isn't he in this band anymore?
Well, I think what maybe they were going for is that after he, because remember in the beginning, not only does he choke, he faints. He fucking faints.
Oh, right. He faints.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So maybe they had a meeting afterwards, and I think the band broke up, and the only one that held on to the fucking dream was Fatone.
Fatone.
Can we talk about Fatone for a second?
Yeah.
It's good in a movie like this if you got a lead like Lance Bass, who's not a pure comedy guy. You got to get a comedy guy like Joey Fatone. Wasn't he? He's UCB, right?
Yeah.
Was he on the special Montalban?
Well, no. I think, Joey Fatone was actually first member of Human Giant.
Right,
he was a Second City guy, I think.
Was he Second City? I think he did Second City and UCB and IO.
I got to say, I thought for being a non-actor that Joey Fatone, this is controversial. I thought he did a fine job.
I was going to say the same thing.
Thank you, Jason.
He actually seemed to be doing good.
Well, yes. I mean, I think he did. He tried his best.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, like I've been to fucking children's funerals that are funnier. Than
sure, was it funny?
His material was not good. His material was not good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess some of the fart noises were pretty good.
But you know what? He was a relief from watching Lance Bass and like E's girlfriend from Entourage.
Yeah.
Because watching them was like watching the like it was like being a producer on a reality show and just wading through the boring footage of a reality show. Being, how do we edit this
like,
to make this interesting?
The chemistry between them, it was like the chemistry between like a hubcap and a turkey sub. It's like two... nothing. There's nothing there.
But wait, who's who in that scenario? Because I want to know. Because I want to know whether I was attracted to the turkey sub or the hubcap.
Definitely the turkey sub. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Come on, man. Come on. Joey Fatone has, by the record,
Can we talk about... Can we talk about the scene between the turkey sub and her roommate?
Oh my god, I was obsessed with that scene.
So basically, E's girlfriend.
You just spent the weekend with your boyfriend of 3 years, who you haven't seen in a month. Like it is like the poor roommate has like 10 minutes of just solid exposition.
Yeah. Well, the turkey sub just kind of wistfully looks out the window.
Well, like, but by the way, she comes out like you know. So the turkey sub is visiting Chicago,
yeah.
And that's how they have this chance interaction.
Yeah,
but she comes home,
which is a big reveal, by the way.
Yeah,
yes. I think he's going to see her again on the line. Which,
no.
On the line, no. On the subway line.
Turkey Sub doesn't even live in the same town.
But it seems like this best friend is like, the minute, like she's like, how's your boyfriend? Wasn't it great? And she's like, I met another guy. And she's like, great. Yeah. How is he? Isn't he awesome? It's like, these friends are switching on a
like,
dime.
Like, a true friend be like, whoa. You met another, wait, you're in a relationship with a guy for 3 years.
What are
you doing? What's wrong with you? You're acting like a fucking turkey sub. Jesus. Yeah, that was a great scene, man.
Oh, my God. Well,
a huge part of this movie for me hinges on a couple of things. One, there appears to be no such thing as the internet.
No.
Yeah, well, 2001, like, right? That didn't exist, right?
Or CDs.
Like, you could totally, by the way, you could 100% post a Craigslist misconnection at this point. You could try and internet look up this person. Like, that
Prodigy.
Would be possible, but it doesn't.
Yeah, no.
Well,
and that every single person only reads the newspaper, and the way they read it is by
holding it up high.
Completely in front of their face.
And by the way, this like local story is front page news every day on the Chicago newspaper.
Right. I mean, meanwhile, like 15 people got shot to death on the west side. They don't mention that.
And what was really weird is the first time it showed up in the paper, the picture they used of Lance Bass was his graduation photo from high school.
Why? Why would they do that?
I assumed it was because the other guy was the reporter.
Right.
Who was spurned, just that was the only picture he could find.
Who, by the way, I gotta say, it's one of the greatest introductions in cinema history, where you see the antagonist, and he's at his desk playing Game Boy again.
Oh, yeah.
2001, too late for Game Boy.
By the way, this movie, I think, takes place in the world where the Y2K happened. That's why they don't have the internet.
That's why they have to draw pictures. Yeah.
But he's playing fucking Tetris, and for no reason, he just falls over.
Yeah,
like
he falls out of
it. I love artificial, fucking inorganic physical comedy.
It's amazing.
Where they're like, I can see them on set being like, we gotta fucking pump the scene on that. It's just flat.
I just fall down.
Like, what do you mean? You want to fall backwards? Why would I fall backwards? Just fucking do it.
I do want, all right, so when Lance Bass, or when the Turkey Sub and the Hubcap get together, I do want to just play a clip so you can hear the chemistry. And this is Lance talking about baseball, which I feel like he's never seen.
No, 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 no.
So here, take a look.
Bill Wooden, thank you.
You're a Cubs fan.
Heck yeah, born and raised.
All right, all right. So tell me your best and worst Cub moment.
Best, whenever they win.
Of course.
Worst, game 5 in the 84 playoffs.
The ground ball went through Durham's legs. That is the worst moment of my life.
I was so depressed, I didn't even go to school the next day.
I cried.
Okay, most guys wouldn't admit that.
Yeah. I don't know why I just told you that.
and they are in love.
Early moonlighting.
And
right
you
there.
Guys, those were the best takes.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
oh.
That's what we landed on.
Like, I just imagine this best takes. Editor sitting in his bay, just constantly putting a gun in his mouth, being like, "No, keep going, fucking going."
When he says, "That was the worst moment of my life," that's my favorite line of the whole movie. So right. Not passionate. This guy does not care about baseball. He doesn't even know what happened. I cried.
Jesus. And those two actors, neither of them have ever seen a baseball game.
No.
They have no idea. They don't know what
Cubs, that's football, right? That's football. and then Lance, you know, asks her the question that every guy likes to ask a girl. What's something you only will tell a stranger?
Yeah.
Creepy.
To which she replies.
She says, I like making paper airplanes.
And one other thing. My dad's
Shame on her.
And my dad's a pilot.
That's why she likes making paper airplanes.
Right, that's why.
Because her dad's a pilot.
That's true. It'd be great if she's like, I killed a man in a hit and run. One time, I just kept fucking driving.
That's the worst secret to tell. What's a secret that you've never told a stranger? Right. I make paper airplanes. What the fuck is that?
And then
I have a dick.
And then after that, she walks him up to the subway platform and launches one of her paper planes from there, and then says that this is her favorite spot to do it.
Her favorite spot. She doesn't live in Chicago.
This she doesn't live there.
No,
she doesn't live there.
The guy, she comes to Chicago to stand at this one specific spot in the L and throw paper airplanes into giant fucking orange afros.
Yeah, well, I was going to say,
those poor, ugly Jamiroquai extras. Oh, my God.
My heart went out to them.
That poor son of a bitch. Does he even tell people he was in that movie? I don't think so.
No, he was like, that was just Jamiroquai, a fatter version of Jamiroquai.
The relationship I was really curious about was between Hubcap and Jackie at work.
Yeah.
Jackie is Hubcap's nemesis.
Yeah.
They're both working on the Reebok account, which is, again, if you're keeping track, we've talked about McDonald's, Reebok, and also there's a mention of Pop Secret.
Yep.
Are we to believe that Reebok, the company Reebok, is going to hire some tiny rinky-dink ad agency in Chicago to do all of their advertising?
Oh, yeah.
No sense.
And when they show their ads to them, they're just going to have, like, like magazine cutouts of girls' heads on like little doll dresses. Like, yeah, that's our ads. That was their big, like, their first of all, Dave Foley, who's in this movie, reveals, he goes, here is our vision of Reebok, and it looks like the worst computer graphics. It's like Reebok, the future. Like, it It's so poorly done. It's so poorly done.
Well, also, Hubcap is supposed to. He's supposed to be good at his job, right? You know. So yeah. He says to her at one point, he goes, "What about this?" And he holds up two Kush balls and goes, "Reebok." Reebok, and she looks at him, she's like, "You're a moron," and she's right. That's the fucking worst pitch I've ever heard in my life.
Well, also, this guy, Lance Bass, is in the mailroom in the beginning.
Yes.
And then Turkey Sandwich says to him, did you work on that pop
ball?
Yeah,
turkey sub.
Hey, Paul, sorry. It's a turkey sub, not a sandwich.
Please.
You're right. Sorry, I apologize. Turkey sub says, like, "Oh, did you work on Pop Secret?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, I wrote that jingle." Wait, you're working a fucking mail.
You're trying to fix a copier with Jerry Stiller. Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about?
You're working on jingles?
By the way, the copier metaphor, which runs throughout the whole movie, is one of the more baffling.
That's supposed to be like the oil and there will be blood. You know what I mean? It's a metaphor for everything. Jesus. Poor Jerry Stiller. He had no idea. He had no idea what he was doing in there.
So this whole movie is basically, they give you a little bit, but then they take it away. It's like... then Joey Fatone, is he a good singer? Is he not a good singer?
Well, all I'll say is in the first 17 minutes, he has three songs.
Yes.
That's tonnage.
Oh.
That's too much.
A little bit when he does a full cover of Pour Some Sugar on Me, literally pouring sugar on himself.
And then after fucking Turkey Hubcap tells him what happened, he gets on stage and busts a parody version of Every Rose Has Its Thorn about Weird Al Yankovic?
Yeah.
That just happened. It just happened.
Well, also, Joey Fatone also has that interesting ability to be like, do one song. All right, guys, let's take a break. I'm going to go hang out with my friends, chat with them for a bit, go back on stage and sing another song.
Yeah.
He's just performing in a place where music is going to stop and start at any given moment.
It's the world's worst bar.
Oh, my God.
I love, too, about 24 minutes in when he kind of figures out what he's going to do. You know, he's got to find her.
Oh, yeah, he's got to find her.
And they start playing the titular song on the line. It's the worst moment in cinema history. It's the fucking most uncinematic, horrible, terrible scene in movie history.
This movie is the most uncinematic film at all. Pacing is not a thing in here.
Yeah, I mean,
montages are insane.
Montages are
really
crazy.
Long too.
And
really long.
There's that scene where he walks through the hallway of that of his ad firm, and all of like the secretaries are looking at him. They play that scene about seven times.
And the one time he just drops his papers, and they all start laughing at him. Like all he did was drop a couple papers.
These women are horrible.
Yeah, it's a harsh place.
This whole place of work is constantly dictated by what's on the cover of the Chicago Times. Like, he's looking for love. Everyone's into him. He's a jerk. Oh, everyone hates him. Like, there's so much. They really are feeding off of this article. You would think these are the only people that would know him for him. they are just whatever the paper says, they are in.
Me too.
Oh, my God. And we haven't even talked about his friends, really, besides Joey Fatone. We have the astute guy who's always reading the paper.
Right.
And then Doogie Howser's friend.
Yes. And then his name is GQ. He played a character called Eric.
His name in real life
is GQ?
GQ.
He
plays a version of that character in Drumline as well as a bunch of other movies.
If you look at GQ's IMDb page, it says GQ, as he likes to be called, is a brilliant young actor, writer, and MC. A product of Shy Tilly, he went to NYU's Tisch School of the Arts and worked in the experimental theater wing. It was there, along with some classmates, he conceived the idea for the bomb. He was the Bombity of Errors.
That's the guy.
Wait, he said he's from Shy Tilly. Does that mean Chicago?
Yeah, I guess so.
Paul, I'm from Chicago. I lived there 18 years. I've never heard anyone say Shy Tilly ever. Never once, ever. It's never happened. It's a made up term. Jesus.
Shy Tilly.
Bombity of Errors was awesome, though. Wow.
He created that?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And the adaptation of the Comedy of Errors.
Dude, I think he misspelled it. Adaptation.
Nope. Adaptation.
Well, that's not a word.
Nope. Hey, man, just chill out.
Just go back to Shy Tilly.
Just go back to Shy Tilly.
Jesus Christ. I didn't know. I'm sorry. Jeez.
Yeah, those friends are the worst.
Yeah. They're the worst.
And basically, the friends decide they're going to, because all these girls are so in love now with Lance Bass because he's looking for his true love.
Right.
All the guys are going to take out all of the girls and fuck them, which they then do.
Right.
Well, that's the major flaw of the whole movie, though. Hey, like, all right, so like these girls call him to say, "Oh, I'm the girl from the subway," but yet he has to go out on dates with all of them. It's like, No, yeah, that's not the girl. Like,
that's not the girl.
Just pick up the phone. And go,
yeah. Or show up and be like, I'm not her. Bye.
Yeah. Out. Or just gun in the phone and be like, oh, yeah, no, you're not her.
But
you guys,
the other major, major flaw is that these friends are concocting this whole plan. Once the girls show up, they've seen Lance Bass. They've seen Hubcap's picture.
Yeah, on the cover of the paper every day.
They're going to show up and not go over to his friends. Why would they?
And basically, these guys are just fucking girls, like, literally four times a night. That's what they allude to.
They didn't beat the script out enough, I think, was the biggest problem. I love the scene with the three bros or the four bros playing baseball.
Oh my God. Barbecue baseball?
Barbecue baseball.
Lance Bass throws a baseball, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
It's literally how I imagine Rue McClanahan would throw a baseball right before she passed. Like, I mean, it's so soft.
Why would she pass right after that?
It's the throw. Her baseball throw kills her.
Also, he is standing maybe 4 feet in front of Joey Fatone. Like, it's so bad. Oh
my God.
And then they hit it. And then they hit it right where their friend set out a beautiful table, like Barbecue set it out on barbecue. Yeah, like, what are you doing here?
Well, and they literally go, you're probably wondering why we asked you here to barbecue baseball. He goes, well, I brought the meat.
This is my idea.
And by the way, the staging of this movie is so horrible. The blocking that during this scene, they're all standing in one line.
One line facing camera.
Yeah, the director was done. He's just like four shot, fucking stand there. Let's go, keep moving.
And they look like they were freezing.
Yeah,
it
looks
like that was the coldest day.
It looks
of the
like
year.
They shot there like a March 5th in Chicago. Yeah. Where it's like 32 degrees out. It's fucking terrible.
I do want to just because I'm obsessed with it. Like these characters going back on what they've just established that they've done
constantly,
which is Joey Fatone is in love with this character called the Mick. Played by Richie Sambora.
Right, they went with comedy guy again, too.
Yes.
You want to get a big comedy guy. Like,
Sambora, just hitting it out of the park.
Fucking bringing it.
And so Sambora, like, he's like, I love the Mick. And he watches the Mick on TRL. He's like, oh, I hate this guy. This guy's the worst. It's like, wait, you just launched over the couch to watch your favorite guy. And the guy says two words. And you're like, this guy is, I hate him. And then at the end, he comes back in and goes, I love this guy.
Like, do you think maybe he was just upset to see the Mick, like, in interview
selling
form?
Selling out?
Like,
was he selling out?
I don't think the Mick was selling out.
No, he was being the Mick. That's what the Mick does.
The Mick talks about the Mick being the Mick.
Fuck me.
Wait, we haven't even talked about, this is before the friends concoct this plan, GQ takes Hubcap to see Al Green in concert.
Oh, yeah. You know, that 5-minute Al Green scene really gives the film a nice sense of urgency.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We're going to literally show Al Green singing for 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And show Al Green singing. It is the worst lip sync of all time. I can't describe it to you because it's so utterly bad. It's like someone's playing a CD. He's not even near the microphone. It is so off.
That's what's weird about this movie. There are sounds added in, but then there are sounds taken away. Something very strange happened with the sound.
It's almost like the sound mixer was like holding them hostage. You got to pay me, otherwise you're losing the fucking Al Green track.
Did you notice, guys,
your last couple of checks have bounced, so I'm not really going to do this anymore.
Did you notice, though, that at certain points, the camera would be on an actor, and they'd say something, and one of the words they would say would just be so obviously dubbed over by another word.
But not even bad words.
No, not
curse words.
I love bad ADR in a movie. Yeah. It makes me happy. And every time you see the back of a character's head in this movie, you hear like, hey, watch out, get out of the way. Like the worst fucking ADR. And then they do it with their leads. I don't get it.
But they do it with their leads. Like, it's like, you're going to get screwed. And then be like, you're going to get in trouble. Like, it's like, that's what they're doing. It's like, I'm going to kick your butt. And it's like, but clearly it's that ass. Like, but like, that's not really dictating the difference between an R-rated movie and a PG-13.
No, but I bet it was still for like tween girls. I think it was still that. It was as sensitive as butt to ass, for that age girls.
If we're talking about tween girls, are you going to talk about the scene with Al Green?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, maybe the most offensive scene in the movie is the protagonist or the antagonist's girlfriend, who's actually my friend Mandy. She goes on a date with Joey Fatone and tells his friends what happened the next day.
Oh, yeah.
I would love her to come on and talk about this movie. What? I mean, because it was so baffling. I mean, she's having a hard time with the antagonist.
He's a dick. He's, you know, wrapped up in his work and he's consumed with jealousy over Hubcap.
So much so that when she walks in from that date, she's severely injured.
Her neck, fucking face is bandaged.
Her,
yes.
Her fa- face is bandaged.
Her leg is, and she's wearing a leg brace.
Clearly, she's been hit by a car or something.
Something terrible.
He doesn't even look up.
He doesn't look up for a while. Then he does look up, continues to talk, looking at her, and doesn't notice.
Right. And then at the end, he goes, "What happened to you?" And then they get out of the scene.
Yeah.
And then Joy Fatone comes in the next morning and is like...
No, wait a second. He says, what happened to you? And she smiles.
She smiles like she's
like, I finally got fucked right.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it too. Like, she did some creepy shit with Joey Fatone.
Right, that's what was so interesting about her character. So then Joey Fatone retells the story to his friends.
Right, and they're like, what happened? And he basically tells her, he's like, I was doing my thing, which is like rocking out, I guess.
Yeah, rocking out in his bedroom.
Right, his big move is to kick the amp.
That's it. And he says that. He goes, that's my big move. Like, it's not like,
there's no ambiguity there. Yeah. Right? So, and his friends are like, what happened? And then he fucking kicks her in the face.
Yeah, the amp, doesn't the amp like fly at her or something?
No, he misses the amp.
He kicks her in the
fucking face. And she falls over and he goes, I broke her nose. And they all go, oh! And he goes, and her ankle. Oh! And then they start laughing. Hysterical. And then he goes, guys, it's not funny.
Yeah.
And then they stop.
That scene where Joey Fatone, GQ, and the smart guy are eating cereal, Frosted Flakes.
Big box of Frosted Flakes, prominent.
They are eating food so loudly. There is such loud, wet mouth sounds.
Disgusting.
In that it was overwhelming wetness of chewing.
I love that we call the other friend the smart guy.
The sound mixer brought up the level.
Fuck these guys. Fucking check.
And they're just talking about. They're talking about like getting laid.
I couldn't believe it.
I do want to revisit the Al Green scene again because it was a missed connection because Turkey Sub was there and so was Hubcat, but they missed each other. But they get Hubcat gets kicked out because he doesn't have tickets.
Doesn't have a ticket.
Now, meanwhile, this Al Green concert is like in a formal dining space.
Yeah, it's like 60
like at
people.
A supper club.
Yeah. How did he even get there and get a table? He was
front row.
Seated.
Front row.
And by the way, like, why did they even? So this is obviously they needed to get them in the same space together.
The writer's fix to that was
to have GQ say he had tickets to this thing,
right.
And then get him to go, but he doesn't know Turkey Sub's going to be there. Like,
I guess
GQ also likes Al Green.
Who doesn't love Al Green? My God,
young men love Al Green.
My dad, these guys.
You could guess that they might be there because they talked about loving Al Green. She said he's playing at that venue.
Yes.
In a normal movie, if I'm Hubcap,
he'd be there.
Maybe that girl that I liked who said she loved Al Green and knew about that concert would be there.
Well, that's great, but then why would you have GQ be in the front row and then all of a sudden, yo, I forgot my tickets, yo. Shy Tizzy. What did you say?
At the Chantilly? supper club, nobody checks your ticket at the door.
No.
You just walk in and sit down and start ordering drinks and a meal.
Is he eating?
Yeah.
He's eating food.
They're
eating food.
Ah, shit.
And then a security guard comes over for no reason.
No reason.
By the way, why is Al Green doing dinner theater?
He plays out that big of stadiums and stuff. The Reverend is
playing out bigger.
Oh, the Reverend.
Oh, my God.
So now the friends, you know, they've fucked up. They started dating all these girls, having sex with all of them, and now they got a, you know, now Lance Bass has gotten some bad play, I guess, because the return of events. Turkey Sub finds out about this.
Well, Turkey Sub meets GQ.
Yes.
Yes, but even before that, I expected that the reveal of Turkey Sub finding out that this was all going on, because she's not in Chicago very much.
But she makes it back to Chicago a lot.
But then she's moving.
She says she wants to do field work. And her boyfriend, Paul, says, "Ugh, enough with the fossil hobby." She says, "It's not a hobby."
Take that. First of all, he looks like Tom Hanks at the end of Big when he turns back into a kid. Like, he's a young kid wearing a business suit. He's like, the markets.
He's like, don't sell.
Yeah, right.
His
cell phone makes
futures, cattle futures.
But I figured, okay, so the way they're going to reveal her finding out that, like, she's been sort of detached from this whole thing and this crazy, like, Chicago's taken by storm with this story. So it's going to be really interesting how she finds out. No, she just walks over to a newspaper stand.
Right.
Picks up a paper and reads it.
That's it.
Just real casual, not excited.
Calls the number,
and that's it. Calls the number. She doesn't exclaim. She doesn't look surprised.
Nope.
She's just like, dials the phone, And GQ picks up and pretends to be Kevin, and she's like, totally fine. All right, let's meet up.
You know, before that, though, there's a great little scene where Lance Bass, Hubcap answers the phone at his house, and we assume that it's Tricky Sub. He's like, hey, yeah, I'll meet you. So he goes to dinner, and you see him waiting in the diner by himself, and then you see her walking to a diner, and they do like fucking Silence of the Lambs where you don't know what's happening, and then it's just, no, it's the crazy girl, you know, the fucking level four at Improv Olympic in Chicago fucking got cast doing the whole, I'm a cutter.
I feel like we have a cosmic connection.
Yeah, that fucking bullshit.
My favorite part about that was at the end when Cosmic Connection and Hubcap, it goes wrong and she gets mad at him.
She
leaves. She like storms out, but she first leaves money. She takes money out of her purse and puts it on the table.
She's a considerate crazy person.
As best as I can tell, she has not eaten, ordered, or drank anything.
And Cosmic Connection also... Isn't Cosmic Connection the same girl who goes, I don't need to take this. I'm from Oregon.
Yeah.
What?
God, I didn't notice she left money. Maybe that's one of her quirks.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, Jesus.
So the guys try to help him back, help out Lance Bass, and they make a sign that says, has anyone seen this girl? And it's the most crude drawing.
Oh, my God.
It is like a stick figure head.
Yeah.
And they're going around going, hey, have you seen this girl?
Yeah.
Have you seen this girl?
Yeah, and not
it's
only
a
that,
stick
but
figure head.
Yeah, a stick figure head, and they're screaming at people. They're they're
harassing them. Yeah.
These people can't do anything to help you.
Right. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Buckling
me
alone.
The bad thing is GQ had her. GQ had the
such
girl,
a bad friend.
And he lets her get away.
I love to. I mean,
and not only does he let her get away, but when all the friends find out that he actually saw her, they say you have to tell Hubcap immediately.
Yeah.
He takes his
time. He's in no rush.
It goes to another baseball game.
Right. Which, by the way, of course, the Chicago Cubs are such whores. You could shoot a fucking Bukkake film. They're like, yeah, sure, great, absolutely. And then, you know,
when are you going to be here?
You know you're fucked when the best line and the best line reading in your film comes from Sammy Sosa.
Which I would love to play for you right now.
It's
basically Sammy Sosa has had this problem where he keeps on hitting foul balls into GQ's nuts. So
that's never happened in the history of baseball. Let alone three times in one season.
Three times, and it looked like they were also. It looked like the foul ball. Like, it didn't look like they were in an area where that foul ball would come right into his nuts.
And if that happened, he would be seriously injured.
He'd be a contusion. He'd be in the hospital. He'd be sad.
Let's listen to Sammy Sosa's line. The first line, there are two other Cubs I don't know the names of, and then the third one is Sammy Sosa.
Ooh, that's gotta hurt.
I can't believe he's hit that guy three times this season.
Damn, that's the third time this season I hit this guy.
Best performance in the movie.
Damn. And by the way, great writing. You just set up the Lego. I hit this three times, I hit this guy. Damn, I can't believe I hit this guy three times.
I wonder if the line was, they were like, maybe people aren't going to understand Sammy, so maybe we need people
guys.
who don't speak with an accent to say the same line first.
Just set it up. Set the table a little bit. By the way, also, they clearly didn't go to the Cubs park when the Cubs are actually playing, because they have a shot of Sammy. It's kind of like looking up into the sky. It's only a corner of his back. You don't see any other players.
It does not cut together
at
all.
And it's like he just turns over his shoulder and goes, damn, this is the very time I hit
this guy this season. Jesus. It's impossible, by the way. That's completely impossible. You can't hit someone in the nuts. It's out of control.
Oh, man. And Nuts is a runner in this movie, too. He goes, oh, he just got hit in the... And somebody's like, would you like nuts in your Chinese food? That's literally the next scene. Just got hit in the... Would you like nuts in your Chinese food?
I also got to see it again, but I feel like when he gets hit in the balls, there's a...
Or
something like a... Whoo!
I mean, there's a sheep sound effect at one point.
There is a sheep. I heard that.
I'm sorry to go back to the injured girl and Joey Fatone.
Yeah.
But where did we land on that? So she really got something out of that experience.
Well, Joey Fatone also goes, she got rocked.
Okay, so are we to understand that after he hit her, and she fell. She rolled back off that bed backwards and fell on the ground.
No one has equilibrium in Chicago.
After that,
they fucked. After that, okay, after he broke her nose and her ankle,
and then she went to the hospital.
Okay. The doctor says, "What happened? Broke my nose. Broke my ankle. When? An hour ago. What were you doing in between? Fucking. Why didn't you come here right away?"
By the way, Joey Fatone did not accompany her to the hospital. I don't believe he did.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. How did she meet Joey Fatone?
Because she called the number.
Sorry, I forgot. There's a lot of information, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh my Jesus.
Do you think that they were gonna have, I mean, I won't cut to the end of the movie. I mean, there's stuff, everybody sort of has a happy ending at the end.
Oh yeah, everything works out great.
Except for us.
But do you think that those characters ended up together?
They definitely did. They had that thing.
Yeah, they have a little thing
at the end. She comes in at the end because when the Mick is there and the Mick is saying, like, I want you to do my new record.
Give me your demo.
And by the way, she's totally healed like a day or two
later. A broken nose is, it's simple. It's a real quick fix.
Basically, the movie takes a really bold choice, which is the last 20 minutes could probably be condensed into five.
Yeah, two. I was going to say two. Yeah, two.
It's so many music montages, so many sad faces. Like, they're just wading through at this point. They're just like, we need to make this at least 120 minutes.
Jerry Stiller has had a heart attack.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was surprising.
He actually had a heart attack because he found out he was doing this movie and he just fucking killed over. Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Was I really stoned? Or is there a scene where fucking Hubcap is breakdancing in the office by himself?
Yes. Okay, wearing ladies' Reebok sneakers.
And not only that, but after Hubcap gets so into it that he's like, he's on the ground, he's breakdancing, then Jackie walks in,
finds him
there, and then he pretends to hide.
Yeah,
he
kind of curls into a ball a little bit. And
yeah,
turns,
as
yeah.
though as though like he's saying to her, just like, I'm not here. I'm not here. Like, this isn't happening.
Guys, why is he putting on women's sneakers?
He was trying to feel the product
so he can come up with the killer jingle.
But meanwhile, they already came up with the jingle.
They got it.
In the beginning of the movie, it's like, for girls on the move, Reebok. And then, like, he's constantly working on this ad campaign. Like, what else is there to do?
We got it.
Let's talk about Reebok for a second, because they originally don't really care about him, and he's put on the team kind of by accident.
He's put on the team because he was in the paper, and then Reebok. Dave Foley first is like, get on the team.
I'm going to use him to my advantage.
Then the newspaper was like, then they saw the newspaper and like, get on the team.
But why would they want him on the team because he's.
Because he's looking
posting
for love?
This misconnection. Like, I wasn't quite sure.
God, I don't know.
How
maybe because
it
just it's just he's like a celebrity now, right?
So they want him. He's a celebrity, so they want him on his advertising.
Did they know he was the guy? Did they know the guy in the paper was the guy that was on their ad team?
Yes.
Yeah. Reebok does. Yes.
That's why when the paper turned against him, they were like, we want him off the ad team.
We've changed our mind officially here.
Although,
at Reebok.
Wait a second. Here's a big hole. Reebok thought that it was Jackie's idea.
Because Jackie stole his idea. She stole his idea, yeah.
All right, hold that thought for 1 second, because now it's time for a word from our sponsor. Today's sponsor is Audible.com. Audible.com is a provider of audiobooks, comedy albums, and other spoken audio entertainment. What does that mean, other spoken audio entertainment? I don't know. How about Charlie Rose interviews? Even Terry Gross interviews. If you want, you can go back, check out an interview that Aziz, Rob, and I did during Human Giant with Terry Gross, asking us the best questions about very dirty Human Giant sketches. But that's not all. Audible.com has over 100,000 different titles. That's a lot of titles. It's more than you could possibly listen to in your life, unless you do it all the time. I don't know how you live your life. But they have long previews, and today, as a special part of their partnership with us and Earwolf, we're going to give you a free audiobook. That's right. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/how. That's right. H-O-W. audiblepodcast.com/how. And get your free Audible book. You can go on. You can find out how movies get made. There's a great book that I'll really recommend called Down and Dirty Pictures, Miramax, Sundance, and the Rise of Independent Film by Peter Biskind. It's great, and even better because that book is big. So listen to it in your car. That'll tell you how movies get made, but good movies, not the bad movies that we talk about here. audiblepodcast.com/how for your free book. All right, so we are nearing the end of this movie here.
Yeah, we got to wrap this up. This is insane.
Jerry Stiller delivers a couple sports monologues.
How did you get that? Because in the beginning of the movie, he goes, how'd you get that baseball?
And he's like, I'm not going to tell you.
Right? And then at the end.
Well, he had a life-changing experience. He wants to get it all out before he's gone. I mean, I get it. It makes sense.
By the way, for a man who had a heart attack, he's totally fine. He's almost in a nursing home.
Yeah.
He's like in a beautiful like arboretum in a wheelchair.
They actually shot that scene on the King of Queens set. They were like, listen, you're going to lose Stiller. You got to go to him. Shoot the scene there. Go. One of my favorite exchanges is at the end when all the buddy bros come back together at the bar. And one of the guys, GQ, says to him, "You look good." Lance Bass goes, "I feel good." And the smart guy goes, "You look good." Like a virtual improv. Listen, it's been established.
Honestly, the writers and directors didn't trust that all the lines would be heard. Again, there's something happening with the sound. Sound guys on the set. They just want to get all the lines a couple times.
So this movie was made for, you anyone want to take a guess how much this movie was made for?
I will say $12 million.
June?
Yeah, I'm going to say like maybe 8.
Jason?
20.
20?
16 million bucks.
Oh, God.
And it made a whopping 4.3.
Just keep the money.
4.3.
That's a lot of money that didn't go on the screen.
Like, yeah, there's nothing on the screen.
Nobody got paid salaries.
It looks cash grab. Terrible.
Yeah, it looks terrible. Yeah.
There's no hair and makeup department.
Oh, no,
no. Like,
Turkey Sub doesn't have hair and makeup for the first quarter of the movie.
Yeah,
but Hubcap does.
Hubcap has a lot. Oh, my gosh.
I love, too, when Sambora and him show up at the end. It's like in Heat. Yeah. When Pacino and De Niro
finally these two screen legends are sharing the screen.
I also loved in that scene, you know, everybody's found someone by the end, and the smart guy at the the smart guy at the bar turns around, he's listening to music, we're having a happy ending, and there's a girl holding
an art book.
I guess we're supposed to understand is smart.
Yeah.
And that they'll end up together.
I guess so.
By the way, this smart guy.
She's in a bar at night and holding
an art book.
Like a coffee table.
It's a coffee table book.
By the way, this smart.
Table-sized art book.
If this is like a real movie, the smart guy would not want any part of the dating and he would be like, no, I want to find love realistically.
Right.
No, he's out there fucking girls just as much as all the other three
writing
guys.
On the board.
Like, yeah, so it's not like.
Also,
it's not like a big deal that he found love because he even says like, "Oh, last night was awesome." He's into it.
The weird thing, too, about their plan is, like, they seem to be meeting girls, like, every 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, is it about fucking them? Because they're meeting so, like, I don't know.
June, you just don't get what it is to be a guy.
I guess not.
In the R-rated version, they show them all fucking. It's all, like,
it's like, all like the scene in Wedding Crashers.
It's just
naked girls on the bed.
All the time.
Clearly, we did not like this movie, but there are people who really did. And this is now time for a second opinion. These are reviews culled from Amazon.com. There's a couple of them this time because they were so great. I had to pull more than usual. This is a great one. This is written by Kerry Giltfeather, and this is written in 2001.
That's not a real
name.
No
one has that name.
This is written by Kerry Giltfeather. A real feel-good movie when America needed it most.
Oh,
how dare you.
Wow.
Offended by that.
Horrible.
Yeah, that's rough.
Then this is definitely a fake name. Tyresa Darksaber says...
Darksaber?
Darksaber.
Come on.
Really? Got a better fake name than that. Darksaber?
Darksaber.
What I love about that is, like, I feel like people, even though these are positive reviews, nobody's willing to put themselves out there.
These are five star reviews. He goes, "This is a clean movie. Of course, there might be some language, but it was totally void of any long petting scenes."
That's Tyresa Darksaber.
Tyresa Darksaber.
Isn't she on Game of Thrones?
Now, there's another one. These are written just by the blank names. "I was very impressed with Joey and Lance's performance. There are better actors than these guys, but just imagine this movie with other people and you'll be fine."
Wait, that's not my responsibility.
That's a slam. That's not a good review.
I gave him a 5-star review. If you don't like these guys, just imagine better people doing it.
Look, there are better actors, I'm not going to lie. But if you imagine those better actors doing it, it's great.
It also says here, it could have been better with 15 or 20 minutes chopped off. It dragged on too long. With 15 or 20 minutes, the movie's barely an hour.
It's 58 minutes.
This could have been a good half-hour sitcom.
And this is my favorite one just because of the math of it. This is from Melissa Wilkins. "For all the people who think it bombed, Please keep in mind it was only in 1,000 theaters. And when compared to the big pictures that show in more than 90,000 theaters...
90,000 theaters.
They would have actually placed fourth for first week numbers. Not bad for a couple of boy band guys, huh? Thanks, Lance, for the great wholesome movie that we are so lacking. You don't have to be 14. I'm 35 and I enjoyed it.
Oh, Paul, let's stay in the light. Let's
my heartbreak.
Stay in the light.
The heartbreak.
90,000. No, by the way, just so you know, no movie is released on 90,000 screens.
There's not 90,000 screens ever. Yeah.
There aren't 90,000 screens in America.
Yeah.
No, in the worldwide, I don't even know there's 90,000 screens.
Basically, in America, like the most is like 3,000.
I think it's 3,700.
Yeah, 37.
Okay, let's get specific.
So, 90,000. Yeah, if you put this, if it was released in 90,000 theaters.
There might be 90,000 TV screens. But fucking like movie screens?
So that is a sucker
opinion.
I also
love that at the very end, when the Chicago Tribune...
I'm sorry, guys. It's the Chicago Daily Post.
I'm so sorry. Chicago, you're absolutely right.
We had a great article.
Daily Post.
Fire was the title.
The Chicago Daily Post reports on this happy ending and publishes on the front page the worst picture of Turkey Zeb and Hubcap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
did
my God.
See
oh,
that? God.
Like, her eyes are closed.
She has five chins. She looks terrible.
They were running out of money at that point. Like, just fucking whatever. Just put two makeup stills together. Fucking fuck it.
By the way, the end of this movie, the coverage on this event is like a space shuttle launch. It's like there are so many cameras. Everyone's gathered around their TVs. Everyone's watching.
Civilians on the L platform are like, I'm not going to work today. Yeah, fuck my family. I'm going to watch fucking Turkey Sub and fucking Hubcap shake hands. And then, of course, like we said, that just that great character-driven little tag at the end with Timberlake.
Oh, Timberlake. It actually was the best part of the movie. They stopped the end of the movie. It's almost they didn't even trust it to be in the end credits.
Yeah.
Al Green starts singing again. Al Green comes up and he's singing. They cut that off immediately. Yeah. And they go, behind the scenes.
Right.
And it wasn't really behind the scenes.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it was just JT. But you get why JT went on to a lot of bigger movies than this.
He has more charisma than every single person in that movie combined.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's a movie star.
Lance Bass, I guess, what else did he do after this? I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Well, he's now one of the biggest actors in America, isn't he?
You're thinking of Ben Stiller, Jason.
Oh, my bad.
But like in Chuck and Larry, I think it was just like a literally one-off gay joke where Sandler's like, yeah, look, there's Lance Bass. He's a gay guy like me, you know? Like... It wasn't a big part. Well, and Joy Fatone, I know recently, was on fucking like Celebrity Cook-Off. And he brought as much energy to that as he did this movie.
He looks like a guy. Joy Fatone. I really do.
He seems like probably like the nicest guy in the world. He tries really hard.
Yes.
Well, he was also
something.
He was also in Jersey Shore Shark Attack.
Oh, that's right.
Mancation, Incubus. A Karaoke Battle USA, the Kentucky Derby, Imagination.
I genuinely hope you're looking these up and not reciting these from memory.
Beethoven's Big Break, the dog movie Beethoven.
So wait, that year, like 2 years ago, the Oscars, it was No Country for Old Men, There Will Be Blood, Jersey Shore Shark Attack.
Yes.
What were the other ones?
I think it was a dual year. Wasn't Mancation nominated?
Mancation might have been there. Yeah, I forgot that. Yeah.
Oh my God. So that is this movie. Did we miss anything that anyone wants to chat about?
God,
it's just strange that one of the big plot points is that they have this crazy connection because they can both recite every president in order of presidency.
Yeah, that's how they connect.
That's like a huge part of their story, their love.
That they know the president by heart.
Yeah.
I still love to resist. Tell me a secret you've never told anyone. That is so fucking
crazy. You've never told a stranger.
Never told a stranger. That's madness.
Still the best.
Oh my God. Guys, we have t-shirts. They're awesome. They're brand new. They're Crank 2 inspired. Jason Oda made them for us, and they're amazing. Our new guy pulling our clips, Dave Steffi, thank you for pulling our clips on the line. Didn't mean to make you watch it. And also a shout out to Samantha Pierce, who donated some money to our show. Thank you so much for doing
that,
Samantha. That's awesome. It helps us very much. Would you guys recommend people seeing this movie? I think I would.
I think it's a fun movie.
It's a fun movie to watch. Clearly, Tracy Lightsaber thinks it's good
Teresa
family.
Teresa
Darksaber thinks it's good family fun. It's a movie to watch if you 8-year-old girl who's had some head trauma.
And if you have YouTube, you can watch it in 8 easy installments.
Oh yeah, just go to Lance Bass fan page. Remember, it is posted with the express permission of Lance Bass.
You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Paul Scheer.
At Miss June Diane.
At Ike Barinholtz.
There you go.
I'm not on Twitter, guys. I'm not on Twitter.
Jason,
not on
Twitter. 2012, man. You got to get on there, bud.
And Jason, you have a big movie coming out this week, The Dictator.
Yes.
Yep, coming please, out. Everybody go next Wednesday, so the 16th. Excited. Please go and see The Dictator.
Can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. All right, well, that is all. Thank you, Ike, so much for being here.
Thank you. You're guys. Awesome. Love the show. Love the podcast.
This is amazing. You have to come back. All right, thanks so much. Thanks. That's it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.